Whoa, what is up, y'all? What is good? This is Miss Lyrae Podcast on the go. I got Keisha Jefferson on this on the go set episode with me, and we just gonna be having girl talk. We ain't even really gonna be doing no extra cute stuff that I be doing in the studio. We just gonna straight talk it out. We at the, you know, the glass table in my living room, you know.
What's up, everybody?
What's up? So we got three things we want to talk about today, and we just going to have casual conversation. It's going to be talking about racial bias, differences of cultural, I guess, no, I should say it better, cultural differences in the workplace, and single parent boundaries. Yes, clap up for them topics. Okay, and so we got some SZA Garden playing in the background, got a little wine on the table, drinking a little sip. Yeah. Sip. So we just, I got to burn the candle so we can
set the
tone. Yes, I can't wait till I do that all girl pod with some other people. Mm-hmm. And you on there too? Around this same exact time.
I'm gonna have to get you a lighter with the
long one.
Yeah.
I know, I hate this.
Let's see. Hold on, guys. We're trying to get it going.
Woo! We got the candle going. Mm-hmm. All right, so racial bias. Mm-hmm. Now, racial bias all around in general, or is there like a specific environment?
I feel like all around, because it's like levels to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the obvious black, white, Hispanic, and then within our culture, colorism. But the reason why this came to mind is because I'll try to be as vague as possible, because you never know who might listen, you know.
Right.
But I had a workshop at my job recently, and it was just basically about racial biases in the workplace and in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they just wanted people to be aware of it. They wasn't trying to call anybody racist or anything. They just wanted people to be, you know, sensitive to it, because the demographic is basically black and Hispanic. It's maybe 20% white kids. So, mm-hmm. A lot of the people were uncomfortable, and mm-hmm. I just thought it was very funny. Not funny like haha, but just like, wow, like, you're uncomfortable on a topic that is day and night, or not day and night, but, you know, our life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we go through every single day since we was born. We're always uncomfortable. So you can't take it to be uncomfortable for a couple of hours.
Right. And I think that's not fair, because it's like you are taking what our feelings are about what we've been through as a thing to make a decision on whether we can talk about it or not.
Right.
And I don't think that's fair.
Right. And it's like, I can understand it being uncomfortable, because you don't want people to think that you're racist or whatever. But my thing is, it's more of you than me. So you should be more comfortable, because people can relate to you. Y'all can relate to each other more so than I can relate to you. So,
right.
The conversation was, who else is uncomfortable? Because I was uncomfortable. And I told them, I'm not uncomfortable, because I'm used to talking about these things and it doesn't bother me. Because it is what it is. And at the end of the day, people, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, whatever, this has to be talked about. We can't get over whatever issues we have if we don't talk about it. It's going to be uncomfortable. Nothing hard is going to be easy or comfortable.
I feel like if it's not directly impacting them, like selfish ambitions, if it's not directly impacting my race, my culture, then I don't take it as heavy. And I feel like that could be the case with us as well. I think we would be more understanding, but I think if there was something going on in another race, we're not going to take it as personal.
Right.
As if it were our race.
Right.
And so I think with minorities, it should be all the same, because right. we all done had some type of struggle in this world dealing right. in our own race and culture. So for it to get comfortable for minorities is kind of weird to me, because it would seem like they would be able to relate more than be uncomfortable.
Right.
But
you talking about minorities or white people?
Oh, who was being uncomfortable? The white people?
The white people.
Oh, not the minorities.
No, not because
I missed the whole thing.
I'm sorry. I should have specified, because, you know, now I work at a school where it's mostly white people. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the few now.
Okay.
So that's why I'm like.
Now, the white people, yeah, they have to respect that y'all didn't go through what we went through. And so we have a right to voice how we feel about our own adversities.
Right.
You know, and they can't relate because right. they haven't been through it.
And that's what I'm saying. And it's like, I can understand, like, you know, one of my coworkers, love her to death. She's sweet as she want to be. It's like, you can't take this personal. She was taking it personal. Like, the person that was leading it, you know, she was black. And she felt like she was being aggressive in her approach. And I was like, no, she's not being aggressive towards anybody. She's hurt, and she's expressing her trauma mm-hmm. as a child, because she told us the story about what happened to her when she first realized that race and racism is a thing mm-hmm. at a young age. And I feel like everybody who's black has that story. At one point or another, you were put in a position where you figured out you're different from the other kids, and maybe that one kid made you feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story. I can remember I was 9 years old at a camp. It was a skating camp, and I was, you know, it was black and white kids, and I, you know, was cool with this white little girl, and, you know, we was getting along, having fun. And then one day I was like, oh yeah, we should, you know, be friends outside of this. And she was like, oh, I can't, my mom said I shouldn't trust black people. That's traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a similar story. That's traumatic. You as a white person, I'm not trying to take nothing away from anybody, because everybody has their own struggles and everybody goes through stuff, but you never had to deal with that.
Right.
Anywhere you go, you're automatically accepted because you're white.
Right.
Now, in your social class, in your race, you may not be.
Right.
But if we're in a room full of people not gonna look at you funny versus a black person or Hispanic person or whoever.
Right. Right.
And they gotta understand, the reason why we're having this conversation is most of our kids don't look like you.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't relate to you like they can relate to me.
Right.
So they're not comfortable, because we've been there.
Right.
I've been to a school where most of my teachers were white, and you feel uncomfortable. You don't know if they really like you. Because at a young age, you already know what racism is, and you already know what race is. So you're scared and you're traumatized because you don't really know if they're really here for me or if they're racist. Because I've had racist teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had or not.
Not really, because I know, like, back in middle school, I went to a predominantly black school, and it seemed like the teachers kind of merged into the culture of that.
Mm-hmm.
You never really felt, not for me at least, I never felt racial disparities. And in high school, I went to a predominantly white school, but it never seemed like there was a racial difference. And I think it was because, even though the school was predominantly white, it was still a lot of minorities as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it balanced out, but it was just more whites than minorities.
Right.
So I never dealt with that, to be honest.
And I will say, I didn't personally deal with a teacher being, you know, discriminating me, but I've seen it happen to classmates or friends. So so I witnessed it, but it hasn't really happened to me, because in school I was kind of low key and I kept to myself. But
I never noticed it against other students either. Like, I really don't remember it being. I mean, it could have been because it's been so long ago.
Yeah.
But like, just off of thinking,
yeah,
I can't recall.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I feel like everyone at the school I don't feel like anybody is racist, but I just feel like they're stuck in their own world. They're just oblivious to the stuff that's really happening, mm-hmm. and all that the administration was trying to do was just make you aware of it and be sensitive, because there are kids that are losing their parents because of this mess with Trump and the immigration laws and everything. I have plenty of kids that, you know, they're sad that they're going to be taken away.
Yeah.
Or their parents gonna be taken away. That's a stress that they have to deal with, and we don't definitely
have to be sensitive with that,
right? And just, you know, our kids, going through it's a lot going on. So they just want you to be aware of it. It's not, you know, I just hate that they took it as, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Oh, I feel bad. Oh, I'm emotional. It's funny. They always make it about them, but they're not seeing the big picture of why we're talking about this.
Right.
I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, I will say I have noticed racial bias in the workplace for sure, mm-hmm. On my job. Now, over the past, I'd say 3 or so years, I've worked under Black leadership, but in my current role, I'm under a leader who is, or a manager, who is white. And most of the people in management at my job is white. You can tell, I won't say racial, well, could be racial disparities in that account so far as like opportunities. But like, I remember one time I was training, and this was like my first week or two of training, and my phone had went off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of my alarms, and she thought it was my phone ringing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, and assumed that I was married, which I thought was stupid, just because you married don't mean I'm married.
Right.
And so she thought that I was married, and she was like, oh, I know your husband probably thinks I'm like a slave driver.
Was it a white lady?
Yeah, like a slave owner is what she said. Because I just be keeping you past lunchtime and stuff with training and stuff. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not married. And that was nobody calling me. That was my alarm going off.
And
like, assumptions.
And that's inappropriate.
And so inappropriate to say slave owner. Who says that?
Right.
Like, you know I'm black, but you're not being sensitive to even what you're saying.
Right.
So it's about mindfulness. Like, we have to be mindful too. But
right. They
are so less mindful than
right,
we are.
Because it's that entitlement and that privilege. Because
right,
I feel like we are a little more timid with what we say and do, because we don't want to be deemed as, oh, she's aggressive. Oh, she's angry. Oh, she's this, she's that. So we kind of... And I mean, some black women, they just are who they are. And I mean, I feel like I am who I am, but at the mm-hmm. same time, I know I'm mindful of what I say, because I don't feel like being called in the office because I made somebody uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah, like it should never get to that point.
Right.
You should be emotionally intelligent enough to not get to the point where you having to be called out for how a company makes somebody feel. And I also feel like if you are not, because everybody doesn't have the strength of emotional intelligence that others have,
mm-hmm.
then you should be open-minded to the knowledge that is being given, and not be and try to be the victim when you are the person that offended the victim. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's some people that try to victimize themselves to get out of like the reality
right,
of things.
Of what really happened.
Yeah, to try to like feel like there's no wrong in what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if it is, it is. Own it. Try to improve and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why has it got to be that the other person's feelings have to be pushed to the side to make you feel comfortable? That's been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all always have pushed us to the side to make y'all feel comfortable.
Right,
like,
right.
Now we get the right to speak on things
right.
and not be pushed to the side.
Right. And we call
and be
you
heard.
Out on your BS.
Which
and,
is okay.
Right. And one thing I always say to people, or to my white friends or white colleagues, like, you know, because some of my friends, we can have conversations and they don't get offended. And I'm just like, all I ask is, let's have a real conversation about the issue and just own up to your privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when some white people feel like they don't have white privilege. You do.
Right. Because they sometimes, I feel like they don't realize what white privilege is.
Right.
So in their mind, this is just what I'm used to.
Right.
I'm used to getting what I want. I mean, you do this, you get that, right?
Right.
But it's like, we look at it as white privilege because when we do something, we don't always get it, okay?
Right.
That's even like a job,
right.
A house. Like, y'all, half of the white population, or at least 1/4, is born into wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be billions of dollars, millions, but it's enough that if I need a house, right. It's there.
Right. Or it may not even be money. It might be, this house been in our family for generations.
Yeah.
Oh, this heirloom been in our family for generations. We really don't have that because of we didn't start on even footing. And it was so funny, in a workshop they had a scenario. It was a white man and a black man, and it went from childhood when they were born until adulthood. They both had education, they both did the same thing, but of course the white man was well more established because he had more opportunities because he was white, mm-hmm. and his parents were able to do more versus his parents. They couldn't do as much because they were black, and this was back in like the 50s. You know, segregation was a thing. So they bought a home. It wasn't worth as much as the people who bought their home. Mm-hmm. So it was just cool to see the dynamics of he's still low-key struggling, but you sitting pretty.
Right. And it goes to the fact of when we start out as adults, we are left to go out into the world with no foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So even our basic needs is something we have to fight for.
Right.
Whereas they are like, and I'm not saying all white people, because there's a good amount that struggle too.
Right.
But like the one most, more than the black community.
Right.
They are not struggling like that.
Right.
They have a foundation. Like, if I have a house by the time I'm 18, I ain't got to worry about all the bills right. that go along with that, because this house is already paid
right.
off. And also, I might have a paid off vehicle.
Right.
So all I got to do is worry about what's next.
Right. Or I might have some money, you know, some money saved away
right.
for college or bills or whatever.
Ooh.
Some of us, we're not privileged to have that.
Some. A
Most.
Lot of us. Like, more than the, 50%.
Right. So,
of us ain't born into that.
So, yeah. So, that was just interesting to see, like, wow, like, you're really uncomfortable. But it's
yeah.
like, we've always been uncomfortable. So,
yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Right. And it's not fair to try to shut my world down because
you're uncomfortable.
Right. But you're uncomfortable to have a conversation. I'm uncomfortable every day.
Right.
Because I'm out here struggling, trying to just make ends meet, or just
right.
trying to lay a foundation for my family.
Right.
Because I wasn't given one. That's even harder.
Right.
Because I've got to start at ground zero or negative two, really.
Right.
And then try to take care of me. And then if I want to have a family, I got to have wealth for that. You at least got wealth for you. And
mm-hmm.
you probably got, half of y'all got wealth for your child
right.
as well. Because generational wealth, it just gets passed along as one person dies to the next. So half the time, a family could go through generations of nobody being broke or poor.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything gets passed down. Like if my business is built, it can get passed down to my child. Then that when that child dies, my grandchildren and then my great grandchildren. And that's why it's so important to build generational wealth now, so that, you know, when we do have children, we're not in that same curse. And I
right.
think that's the biggest thing, that the reason why I want to have a business, and I'm sure you do too,
yeah.
because I mean,
you want to be able to.
You should be able to provide it for your family.
Yeah, you want to be able to pass on a legacy, and even if
mm-hmm.
you know that might not necessarily be what your child want to do, you can still learn what I'm doing, figure out the,
right.
the foundation, the basis, and then you can go do your own thing.
Look, the main thing is it don't even matter what you want to do. At least I can teach you about business.
Right.
I can teach you how to work your finances. I can teach you how to build something from the ground up,
mm-hmm.
and whatever you choose to do. That even that, like you said, it's not always finances. Wealth of knowledge
right.
is more key than money. Because if I got money and I don't know what to do with it,
you're going to be on the street.
Right. So to me, I mean, I prefer, you know, financial gain. But if it can be a wealth of knowledge, because half of us ain't got that either.
Mm-hmm.
We lacking in that area.
Right.
Yeah. But
well,
anyway,
that kind of ties in with cultural differences, like
in the workplace.
Yeah, like it's just funny. I've always noticed, but just to go like this, it has been a drastic change for me in the workplace, because at my previous job, I was a majority.
You want some more?
Yeah, I was a majority, and that felt great.
Mm-hmm.
Like finally in my life,
I'm a, you know, majority. I feel like I was at a HBCU. I didn't go to a HBCU. And I you know, I sometimes like, dang, I kind of wish I would have, but at the same time, I don't regret it because I feel like for me, my experience has taught me how to be able to hold my own in a setting like I am now. Because I felt like if I would have went to HBCU, because for me, growing up, I've always been around my people. I already know how to adapt versus I didn't really know how to adapt, you know, at a predominantly white environment, went to a predominantly white school. It was uncomfortable as hell, but I figured it out. And I felt like that's what's helping me to be able to maneuver in both settings. But I will say I do miss it because, you know, sometimes, you know, you feel like you were more at home. You can be more so your authentic self. I'm always myself, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you don't feel like you're being judged or you're being like, oh, yeah, do that black thing that you do in a white setting. So now I'm back in a predominantly white setting. And I mean, I do love my school. I love the kids. But I still low-key miss my old environment because it's like, dang, here I am again. You know, I don't really know if this person is really messing with me because of whatever. If I'm black, whatever, whatever.
Right.
But it's just funny to see the dynamics. Like, I was at one point on one spectrum, and now I'm here on a different spectrum. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, because like I said, I used to work in a office setting where half of the people there were black, and I will say I felt more of a family vibe with them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's somebody that I used to work for, and who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. but like, for anybody else who don't know, you know, I used to work under her for about 3 years, and I really felt like we had grown to a relationship where it's almost like she felt like a big sis, in a sense. Mm-hmm. She got on my nerves just like a big sis could get on your nerves, but, and we still talk to this day, you know, and then there was another lady there that felt like an aunt, you know, because mm-hmm. she always, it's just, it's more of a family feeling because we all can relate. I mean, there was white people that we worked with, but most of our HR team was black. And the associate dean of HR at the time, that was her intention. Right. Like, she wanted to give, in this predominantly white institution, she wanted to give black people, specifically black women, an opportunity in HR.
Mm-hmm.
Well, HR is, like, predominantly female anyway.
Right.
But, like,
same thing with teaching.
Yeah. And she felt like, you know, they do it for their
people
anyway, right. Which they do. So I'm gonna do it for mine.
Right.
And so for me to go into a white, predominantly white office setting, it doesn't feel like, I don't feel as fitting.
Feel like
I don't think I can relate.
You feel like not an outcast, but you do, because it's like I'm new, and you know, some people, you know, you can tell that thing, oh hey, I'm so glad you're here, versus oh snap, okay, I can vibe. Like, it's not on that level, and I do miss that, but at the same time, I know for me, because I'm trying to grow, this was probably the smartest decision, because you don't want to plateau, because I felt like I was going to plateau, and I felt like, without trying to badmouth anybody, but I just felt like I wasn't going to grow as an educator and as an artist where I was at, because mm-hmm. I didn't get the support that I needed, versus my support here is A1. Mm-hmm. They checking on me. They ask me if I'm good. And to me, that's more important versus just, you know, I do miss the socialization and the family feel. But at this point in my life, it's more important for me to have the support from the people who really matter.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
From the
admin.
Oh, do y'all consider that leadership in your school? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I will say I do get the difference in that, but I feel like I had support where I used to work as well. I think it was just a lot of drama there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the difference between working with us versus working with them.
Yeah, that is the difference.
You get more drama with us because, like we said, we can relate to each other, and we know when somebody is really being petty, whatever, whatever, versus mm-hmm. with them. you can't gauge, and you let things go more so because you don't really know. It could be a culture difference, or it might not be nothing. So, and then at the same time, you know that at the end of the day, you by yourself. So you can't just be out here acting reckless.
Yeah, I do miss, I ain't gonna lie, I do miss the people I used to work with. I don't miss everybody. I think if I could take just a few of them with me, I'd be straight.
That's how I feel. Like, I wish I could, okay, I wish I could take you, come to where I'm at now, I'd be good.
But, right. And so that's the part I miss. Like, it would be cool if I could go back to that, because it just felt, I don't know, like
it felt good.
It felt good to go to work sometimes. Yeah. Even when you didn't want to go, you still right. felt good about it.
Because you like, man, I don't feel like working, but you know, I'm about to go talk to such and such, and we about to have a good conversation. Because I'm not going right. to lie, I had the best conversations when I was at that school, and I missed that. Because now I kind of feel lonely. I do have people that I talk to, but it's not on the same level, because I don't feel like they understand me completely because of the cultural difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel like it's not enough relation. Like, we can't relate right. as much as I could if I was working around my right. my race. Yeah, it's tough. And I mean, I also feel like what I'm noticing as of recent on my current job is that I don't feel as looked out for. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I'm just out here and yeah, like an afterthought. And I also feel like disrespected in a sense sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's hard to cut it off in my head. It's like, are y'all really just like this, or is it because I'm black?
Right.
You know,
and
that
you,
is tough.
And you hate to be that way, but that's factual sometimes.
Yeah. It'll all be just because you're black that right. it's assumed that you, no matter how smart you are, how qualified and credentialed you are, I don't know if it makes you feel like they don't know if they can trust that you are capable
right.
because you're black. Right. I remember like one time I was asked, like I was told that, you know, if I was to be considered for a position, that they would feel like I was competent enough to do the job, and they would be glad to have someone competent. But then it came after that and said, I hope I didn't offend you. I hope you don't think that's all I think of you. And I'm like, why don't you just leave it at that?
Right.
Now you're making me think you don't think me that of me.
You wasn't thinking of, you were just asking an honest question, and that ain't got nothing to do if you feel like I'm competent or incompetent. So.
Right. Well, it was actually like in regards to me being considered for a job. Mm-hmm. And so she was saying she felt like she would want somebody competent enough like me who could do it. Mm-hmm. But then she was like, I hope that's not, I didn't mean it in that way. I hope that's not all you thought of me. And I'm like, what? Just give me the compliment and keep it moving.
Right.
Like, because now I'm starting to wonder, do you really even mean what you said?
Right.
So, yeah. Well, the last topic we said we'd talk about is
single parent boundaries.
Okay, let me go ahead and say where this came from. So I had posted this question on Instagram about like when you're in a new relationship, do you, and I'll let you answer how you feel about it, mm-hmm. and then I'll give my answer, because I don't think I ever gave it on Instagram. No, I didn't. I just asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, if you, I don't know if I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this individual, or
mm-hmm.
we'll flip it. We'll go both ways. So okay. First, if you were the person who had kids or a child by your baby father, do you think that if you got into a new relationship after y'all done broke up, that if your new significant other is feeling like certain things about the relationship you have with your baby father prior to y'all dating, that y'all had already established this type of relationship, whatever it was, is not comfortable for your new significant other, do you feel like you should respect how they feel, no matter how long y'all been dating? It could have been mm-hmm. just a month or two. Or do you think that you should, because y'all been having this type of relationship and it's been working for you and your child,
mm-hmm.
that you should stick with that?
It just depends, honestly, because, mm-hmm. and it also depends on, but you said a month. A month is not long enough
for anybody to uproot their routine.
Hold up. Let me add to it. So y'all been talking though for months on end.
Okay.
And y'all just now decided to get in a relationship.
Okay. Well,
my bad.
I mean, like I said, it just depends. Mm-hmm. It depends on what's going on, what's the situation. And honestly, if this is somebody that the person sees serious, like you about to bring this person around your child, whatever, it needs to be where everybody is sitting down. It just depends on the situation, because it might be to the point where the baby mama and the baby daddy ain't getting along. But if you're getting along, it may be a situation where we need to sit down and discuss what's going on, so it's not no, oh, he still want to be with her type thing. It's just cut and dry. Like, well, this is how we've been doing it. He comes to pick up the child because of X, Y, and Z, whatever, whatever. And it just has to be an understanding.
No. It'd be, like, what I mean is, like, even if it extends out beyond, like, them just picking up the child. Like, say, for instance, I'll give you an example. Maybe I should have given examples. Like, if y'all used to talking every day, even mm-hmm. when it's not about the child, y'all just have developed that type of friendship. And the new significant other's like, hold up, we together,
like,
now.
I feel like it's going to have to be some boundaries put in place until the said new girlfriend understands the dynamic. Because, you know, first going in, you seeing him talking to his baby mama, that's a red flag. Like, y'all, you know, because it is a situation where people are still friends. But I feel like if you're building something with someone new, mm-hmm. you need to talk to the baby mama. Hey, you know, we can't be talking every day, and if we is talking every other day, it can't be after certain hours, because that's disrespecting my girl. I hope you understand.
Mm-hmm.
And if she don't want him anymore, it should be like, all right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like,
so do you think, like, what if she say, or what if he say, I'm gonna try to put you in
mm-hmm.
like if it was you, what if he say, the new boyfriend or whoever says, I don't feel comfortable, not just the time and what y'all talk about. I don't feel comfortable with you talking to that person every day. Even though I know you just talk about your child, and even though they call at reasonable hours, I just don't feel like talking to him every day or every other day is going to work for me.
Honestly, I don't know. That's a hard one for me, because it just all depends on the dynamics of what's going on. Because honestly, if we're gonna be real, most of the time you're not about to be best friends with your baby mama, baby daddy. I mean, and it's some rare occasions that people are, but it's like, I don't know.
For me, I'm gonna answer the question now. I feel like you in a new relationship, you really care about that person the way you say you do, you have to respect that person. Because you might as well just be with
the baby mama.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I personally, if I was the woman and a guy had to talk to his baby mama every day of the other day, I'd be like, ain't that much going on
right.
with your child.
Right.
So where y'all got to talk more than you talk to me.
Right. And I feel like,
and
it'd be different. It's like, okay, y'all have one good conversation once a month, like catching up with the kid or just whatever, whatever. But after that one good conversation, you ain't got to talk to the person the next day.
Right.
So, and it like I said, it'd be different if, you know, once you with your girl, y'all in the phase of about to get married, whatever. And we all talking. We all going out. The baby mama boyfriend or husband might come around. We all just, we cool and we family now. That's different. But in the beginning stages, it should be understood on both ends. Because I'm sure you want to move on. You know, let's keep it frank until we know if these people about to be on this journey with us with the kid type thing. You know what I'm saying?
I personally feel like,
and that's if you cool with your baby mama or baby daddy.
I don't even think, and maybe I'm just too, never mind, I'm going to go into it. But maybe, for me, I think there's no need for the baby mama or the baby daddy to be in the picture at all. Now, if it's a birthday, if it's like something like that, yeah. But like on a regular basis, we hanging out, or like on a anything outside of that, to me, that's not necessary.
But you got to think about it. You say that as a single woman without a kid. If you think about it, if we go deeper, let's say, okay, we in this for the long haul. We about to get married. We got kids together now. So we are, you know, our kids are siblings now. So
yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
when I'm thinking of like we can be cool once we get deep into that. That's what I'm saying, because at the end of the day, we all gonna be in each other's lives forever now, because we both got kids by the same person.
I still don't think that I think that my kids can still come together with her kids without her having to be in the picture.
But what I'm saying is, I feel like if it's a good, positive relationship, and let's say the person, they broke up because they just realized they wasn't good together, but they still cool, and as we get older, we mature, we both got kids, she married, he married, and we ain't gotta hang out all the time, but I'm just saying, like,
it yeah, now be, she married, yeah. She got a man, her man coming yeah. with her, that's different.
Yeah, like, not like her, like, coming along, and she's single, and she might feel away, like she's right. moved on, whatever. I don't see nothing wrong with that.
Blending
the families, I don't see nothing wrong with that, and at that point, it's like, if we, you know, hell, the wife and the baby mama might be talking outside of the husband.
Yeah, I feel like It would have to be a situation. I personally don't think I could date a man with kids. I mean, be married to a man with kids. That's just me. But, because there's some shit I just ain't gonna be cool with. But I think that if she's single, though, even if him and her ain't got issues, because they ain't got issues, I mean, stuff ain't still going on.
No, if I feel like if she's single and if she she's showing the tendencies, like she still got feelings, no,
even if she don't, no, she can't.
True.
You can't trust, because they won't show it, and you won't know it, but it'll be there.
Regardless if she doesn't, at the end of the day, if you single and you still cool with them, you still have feelings. I don't care what anybody says. So at that point, it's like, okay, yeah, we gonna have to cut off the communication like we used to. You can call yes. me, you know, when the child has issues, whatever, you can call me if it's an emergency, but the texting every day, the calling, talking on fire day, that's got to end, because mm-hmm. I'm trying to build something with this person, and I need for them to trust me to the point where they know I'm not going nowhere, and then, you know.
Right, because my thing is, I feel like it don't even matter about the time frame of how long we've been dealing with each other, because I know I said like a month or two. I feel like that shouldn't even matter, because before you decide to be in a relationship, you should have had all of that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'm now, me and her done ended. I'm ready to move on. And I'm now at a point where I'm ready to be in a new relationship. Mm-hmm. And that means that I got to set up my communication with her. Let me go ahead and get this figured out. Because I know that somebody new is probably not going to be cool with that. Because I wouldn't be cool with that.
Right.
Put yourself in that shoe. And then, once we get into a relationship, or just be honest about how it is, and then y'all iron that out, and then get into a relationship. But to jump into a relationship and you doing things that
you shouldn't do. Realistically, that's what we would want the person to do. But realistically, it ain't gonna never be that thoughtful and oh, okay, I'ma get my ducks in a row before I date. Because sometimes you meet somebody and you don't think it's gonna stick, and then the qualities of that person makes you wonder, and you got this other bullshit on the other side, like, dang, I gotta figure this out. So,
but they could easily, too many people too quick to jump into a relationship.
But that's what I'm saying, like, that's the mature thing to do, but most of the time,
and see, I can't fuck with it if they can't.
People not mature in that thinking of yeah. being considerate.
I think there are people out there that are, but it's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people function in selfish ambition. It's like, if I can have it, because really the reason why the bond between the mother and the father felt like it's got to be there is because of the child.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to have access to their child, or they don't want to pay child support, or da 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 da. And if they don't want the woman still, that's really the reason why they are conducting right. themselves that way. And so it's like, when that is going on, I forgot what I was going with that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I don't forget now.
Well, anyway, just to say, I don't forgot what I was going to say, but I know what I was going to say. I just feel like it just takes a special individual to deal with that, because me personally, I don't want to have to deal with that. I'm not going to deal with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there are some people who can deal with it.
And they are.
And there are some people who have kids on their own, and they can just, they can relate because they both got kids. So that works for them.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they, because this is another thing I be thinking about. Me as a person with no children, dating another single person with kids and a baby mama, I think it's a little unfair to me, just from a personal standpoint. Now I'm going to talk about, this is my selfish ambition. Like, I don't have a specific reason to talk to another man outside of this relationship. Because I don't have kids. So I'm not doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But because you have kids, it's supposed to be expected that it's okay for you to talk to another woman because of your kids. Right. I understand it's because of your kids. But for me, it's like, but and I ain't over here talking to another person.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It takes a special individual to understand that. So, because that's just the reality of it. He's going to have to talk to
He's going to have to
the mother of the child. And it could be very well, it ain't nothing but, oh, you know, little whoever got in trouble school. Oh, dang, you got to talk about it. You got to meet up, and you got to both go to the parent conference meeting.
Well, stuff like that to me is fine. I feel like when it starts going outside of the actual relationship, the actual child, and a lot of times those lines get blurred.
Yeah.
Because you're always talking to them. You know it's for the child, but you end up talking about things outside of the child because that's just what humans do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, that's not going to work because, I remember being in situations where, you know, I ain't gonna go too specific to call nobody out, but it would be like a text message to this particular person and expressing themselves in a personal way to the person. And it's like, you like, but I'm your girl. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be saying that stuff to me. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So you're kind of sharing your significant other with all of that's going down.
Yeah.
But like you said, it takes a very special person. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not that special person. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this has been fun.
Yes.
Miss Larae on the go. She got to go. I got to go. I got another business meeting to go to. Sorry, no, but thank y'all for tuning in to Miss Larae's podcast. Check Keisha Jefferson's company out on Instagram. It's art2go, the number 2. And do you have any other platforms you want to promo?
Yeah, you can follow me on art2go on Instagram. That's art2go 09. I'm sorry, guys. And email me at art2go09@gmail.com if you ever want to book a paint party.
Yes. So this was good. I enjoyed the on to go episode. I'm gonna clink my glasses.
Clink, 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 clink.
And we're gonna wrap this up. Y'all have a great day. This is Miss Sarae. Thank you for tuning in. Bye.